The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right.
Attaboy, Claire.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's such an appropriate piece of audio to run because that movie has done more, I think, to confuse people about angels. You know, you don't die and become an angel. That's not how it works. What a bummer, right? No, that's not how it works. Let's talk about that. In fact, we can get into it. Today is a great Feast of the Guardian Angels. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. And in just a second, Mike Aquilina is going to be stopping by. He's written three different books on angels, and I know you know him. Look, tomorrow is the great Feast of our Guardian Angels. And as I said, today let's talk about them and let's begin a new relationship with them. Let's grow even closer. Those guardians are given to us by God, who has given them to us to help us on this path of salvation. And it's actually a good day, I think, to learn about humility, because the fact that we are given angels to help us shows us that we really, you know, the journey towards salvation is a difficult one. Satan is our enemy. We need protection. We need guidance. And we need help. And, you know, if we could do it on our own, God wouldn't give us angels, right? And yet we forget about them. We don't turn to them. We don't think about them. God's so merciful. He really is. He knows our weakness. He knows we need help. He knows how infernal our enemy is and how he wants to rob you of eternity with God. And the guardian angels, those angelic beings that God has given you, are the ones who are there to help you. You know, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he once said that the angels are here. They're at your side. They're with you. They're present on your behalf. They're there to protect and to serve you. So thank God for your angel. Be grateful for them. Be conscious of them, especially when you reject God and you sin. I've invited Mike Aquilina to join us today, Executive Vice President of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, the author of over 40 books. That's a ton of books. And if you are interested in the topic of angels, he's written three of those. Grab a pen and paper. We'll give you the names of those. But you can check him out at MikeAquilina.com or FathersOfTheChurch.com. Mike, good to have you here today. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Drew.
It's always a delight to talk to you. I love having you here. But before we move on, let's talk about your three books on angels, because we're going to dive into this topic. The first one, Angels of God. And can you go through some of the other ones how will they bless people?
Yeah, the Angels of God is a general introduction to the subject. You know, right. Just for ordinary Catholics or ordinary Christians who want to know what and who angels are and what they do. So that one, as I said, is a general introduction. A Year with the Angels is a collection of writings by the earliest Christians, the fathers of the church. It's 365 wow. days of meditations that are taken from the writings of the fathers of the church, and they're followed up by with questions to get people thinking, and then prayers at the end. So that one's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. It's a devotional. The third book is a Bible study. It's called Entertaining Angels. It's short, but it's convenient for groups to use if they want to study the angels in the scriptures.
Yeah.
So it begins with passages from scripture and it looks at them in light of sacred tradition and takes them collectively. What are these things saying about the angels? What does the Bible want us to do with these angels?
I love it. Great titles too. Let's talk angels. You know, we started the show with that. The ringing of the bell, and of course, that's a classic Christmas movie. It's a Wonderful Life, but it's done so much to really create this false narrative that, you know, when you die, you become an angel. Let's address that. Well, yeah, how did God create angels? What are their roles? And, you know, if a person dies, you know, people sometimes think they'll become an angel. Maybe you'll bring some clarity to that.
Well, you know, I don't think the movie created it because that's been around for centuries and even millennia. You find it even in some of the early church fathers.
Really?
You know, they'll use the term angel that way. And I think to a certain extent it's okay as a kind of colloquialism because they're thinking about a soul that's separated from its body and they're thinking about that soul in a different way. But it's not accurate, that's for sure. And it's certainly not in line with Catholic doctrine, because an angel, as we understand the angels in the scriptures, that's a different kind of creature entirely, much more powerful than we humans are. And the Catechism actually has a good definition of angel, and I'm going to read that, because if we're going to go up against It's a Wonderful Life, we should be giving precision from an authoritative source. In the Catechism, it says an angel is a spiritual, personal, and immortal creature with intelligence and free will, who glorifies God without ceasing, and who serves God as a messenger of his saving plan. So spiritual, personal, and immortal, you know, those are the things that we have to remember, the qualities. And creature is the important noun there, because angels aren't rivals to God. They are God's messengers. They are God's ministers, and they have special roles to play in his plan. So, you know, that's a good working definition. The word angel comes from the Greek angelos. It means messenger, plain and simple. So that's their job. They're here to bring God's messages. The early Christians and the Jews believed that it was by the ministry of angels that God communicated the words of Holy Scripture. So we have some powerful beings in our corner. God has created one of these beings, our guardian angel, to be with us and to accompany us through our life from the moment of our conception until the day we go to judgment. So this is something great that God has given us. As you said earlier, we should be grateful for this, but not only grateful, we should be alert to these angels. And we should make the most of the angelic friendship, the angelic presence, because God expects us to use what he gives us. God expects us to make the most of any gift he sends our way.
Yeah, my guest today, Mike Aquilina, if you want to join us, you've got a question or a comment, feel free to dial in. The number here is 888-914-9149. Taking a look at the angels today, tomorrow, the great feast of the guardian angels. Richard is listening in Anaheim. He's got a question for you. Mike, hi, Richard. Good afternoon.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, Richard, go right ahead. I'm going to put him back in queue. He's been holding a long time.
Oh,
he's probably
okay.
Away from,
all right.
He's probably away from the phone, listening to the radio. All right, we'll move along. Patrick, who's up next? Who do you want me to go to? Cynthia, listening in Arizona. Hi, Cynthia. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
So I was telling Patrick the story earlier. Last year during the coronavirus, I live in a very hot desert small town, so we kind of tend to see the same homeless people around. I saw this homeless man sitting under a tree across the street from where I was at. Mm-hmm. He had a huge basket of stuff, and he had his chair out there and was sitting out there. And I had went into Circle K, bought those big jugs of water for him, bought him like two or three, and some food, and took them over to him and gave them to him. He said, oh, bless you, thank you, and he took them.
Bless
and then
you.
When I drove around to the edge of the parking lot, which was just mere seconds to get to where I needed to be to get back out on the road, he was gone.
Wow.
Like, him and all of his stuff was gone.
Wow.
There was no explanation for it. There was no possibility. I was like, how is that possible that him and all of his stuff are just gone? There's no trace of him. And I haven't seen him around town during the help with the homeless at all.
Wow. That's an awesome story.
Then.
Last weekend, I had a visit from a good friend of mine who's in training to be a psychologist. And
yeah.
And he spends a lot of his time with the homeless population. That's where he does his work, and that's his true love in life. And he said he's been doing this for years, and he has had that kind of experience
wow.
repeatedly. It's as if these angels are visiting to draw us into acts of charity, to make us habituated to acts of charity, to get us used to being
yeah.
kind, and to draw us out of ourselves. So, Cynthia, I'm absolutely with you. I think that this happens
yeah.
a lot more frequently than we know.
No, I could not agree with you more. Thank you, Cynthia. And we see that happen. I often share the story of St. Faustina when the beggar visited St. Faustina after she showed, you know, an act of mercy and fed and showed compassion to him. He disappeared, revealing that it was him. And we see this with angels all the time. I had shared a story, Mike, before you came on about a car accident I was almost in, and I was divinely protected, I really believe, by my angel, and I encountered him afterwards. But have you ever had an angel experience? Ever run into your own angel or had something along those lines?
I think I've come to believe that much of my day is an angel encounter. I've had one or two cases where I just thought for sure that was a hard nudge from my angel. You know, one humorous one when I was driving once along Route 80, and I happened to look at my speedometer, and I was going a little too fast, so I lifted my foot off the gas, and I slowed down a little bit, and I said to my guardian angel, should I get off at this rest area or the next one, because I had to get gasoline, and I sensed my angel saying, obey the law. And I looked at my speedometer again, and I was going 80 again. So I think that was a humorous one, but I think those things happen, and the angels do care about what we do in the day-to-day.
I love it. All right, my guest, Mike Aquilina. Let's go back to Richard. I think he's here now. Richard, good afternoon. Hey, Richard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
If you could take me off speaker, that'd be even better.
Okay, will do.
That sounds great. Appreciate it.
Can you hear me now?
Perfectly. Yeah, yes. Much better. Thank you.
Hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I used to take care of my grandparents. I used to sleep at the end of their bed on the floor. And this was probably in my early 20s. And I woke up one time because it felt like somebody had touched the side of my face, and when I opened my eyes, I saw what looked like an apparition. The bottom of the apparition moved to the door. When I looked up, I saw an angelic lady. I had no fear at all. And I've had encounters with ghosts before, and it wasn't. For some reason, I knew it wasn't a ghost, but it looked very angelic. But it was a female form. And I wanted to ask you: do angels do they have a gender, or are they genderless?
Good question.
They don't have gender. We tend to give them male pronouns in tradition, but I don't suspect that's necessary. It's just the way we've always done it, and I tend to follow the tradition. They don't reproduce, so they really don't need gender. And St. Thomas Aquinas said that since they don't have physical bodies, they don't all belong to a species. So each angel, it's as if he's a species all by himself. You know, they're that unique and that different from one another.
And we have no idea how many angels there are, of course, right?
I mean, that's right.
It's you think about how many human beings have lived, and we know that every human being gets an angel.
Right.
But, boy, God's creative, you know, nature, you just can't imagine what heaven would be like. When do angels get assigned? I mean, there's been some people who say, oh, of course, it happens at the moment of conception. Others say, well, it's officially a baptism. What are your thoughts? What's the church teach?
Well, you'll find different things in different writers. You know, Saint Jerome says at birth. I have a strong belief that it's at conception because we need help from that moment on. We need help from the moment we're first conscious. So I believe the angels are with us there from the moment of conception. But again, that's not Catholic doctrine, and theologians have different opinions on that.
So, you know, the last caller, Richard, just talked about gender and their appearance. And, of course, they can come as, you know, powerfully terrifying creatures. I often think of the Virgin Mary when the angel Gabriel appeared to her. He told her to be not afraid. And quite often, people have these angelic encounters. There's a splendor and a power to them, and quite often the response sometimes is fear. You know, we see them illustrated with wings and, you know, crowns or things along those lines. What do we know about their appearance? Are they typically light? I mean, how does God allow them to manifest?
I think they manifest in the way that will be most helpful to us. So if you read the visions of the prophet Ezekiel or the prophet Daniel, or even look up the vision that Balaam had of the angel when his donkey was talking to him, you see that those men, Balaam and Daniel and Ezekiel, they fell to the ground They were terrified. Daniel fell unconscious when he saw an angel. Now, at other times, you have the appearance to Tobias, say, where an angel just appears as an ordinary guy who's taken the journey with Tobias, walking right beside him. I do think that the angels come in the appearance that's most helpful to us. Now, sometimes they have to befriend us. They need to calm us down. They need to have our confidence. And so they appear in an ordinary form, as an ordinary friend, say. Yeah. Other times, they need to get our attention. They need to get our respect, and they need to command our respect. So they come in a form that's a little more intimidating and even terrifying. You see, even in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, yeah, when John sees one certain angel, you know, he's seen a bunch of them by then, but toward the end he sees one angel and he falls down flat on his face.
All right, we'll go back to the phones. If you want to join us, there's one line open, 888-914-9149. Patricia's listening in San Diego. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. My question, thank you for having this program.
You're welcome.
My question is, can your guardian angel, be placed in a regular person and come to you at that moment on your aid?
I think that's what we see in the book of Tobit. We see an angel coming in the form of an ordinary human being. He doesn't inhabit a person, you know, who's already existing, but he disguises himself as a person. He disguises himself by taking on what looks like a human form. So an angel isn't possessing someone and working him like a puppet, but he's coming to you himself in the appearance of a human.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you very much for that call. You know, lines are stacked. I want to get as many calls as we can on, Mike, I want to ask you about deathbed encounters, because I'm always fascinated by these, those who glimpse the other side or those who've had these encounters. Faustina, as I had mentioned, you know, her angel accompanied her to heaven, hell, and purgatory. Padre Pio was in communication with his angel and, you know, often was visited by many of the great saints did. But so do those who approach death, because, I mean, we're created to live forever. We have this angelic, you know, being given to us by God. And, you know, those researchers who study deathbed visions, in particular those in the waning moments, they often report that, you know, people claim to be visited by angels. You know, there are many reports of the dying who report angels, no matter what their religious affiliation is. You don't have to be Catholic or Christian. They have these encounters. So what do we make of all this? What to make of Jews who maybe, you know, see, you know, Moses, or Muslims who claim to see Allah, or others who see angels? Does, you know, how do we differentiate and discern all that?
Well, in terms of the human persons you might see, you know, Cardinal Newman had a great line. He said something like everyone who's ever lived is still alive today. Everyone who's ever lived is still alive today. And so if they're still alive in Christ, they're still alive somewhere, we can still have an encounter with them. And I believe that does happen at the moment of death sometimes, when the veil between this life and the next is suddenly torn away. So that's what explains those encounters that so many people report at the end of life. With angels, you often get the report that there's a bright light.
Yeah.
And throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find angels repeatedly being referred to as lights. They're the lights in heaven. In the book of Revelation, when John tells us about the testing of the angels, he says that a third of the lights fell from the sky. A third of the lights. Well, he's talking about the angels who did not correspond to God's will and who fell away at that moment. So the angels are lights, and I believe that many people, as they're leaving this life, they have that vision of their guardian angel.
And for those who may not know the story of the fall of the angels, it's a fascinating one. Speaking of lights, I mean, Lucifer, his name means light bearer, right? So
yes,
Lucifer was the greatest of the angels, brilliant intellect. It was an angel of light. He was the most beautiful, powerful of all. He was the light bearer, and yet he fell. And of course, we know the Battle of St. Michael. We talked about the archangels a couple of days ago, but let's talk about the fall of the angels and even Lucifer, because these demons, these fallen angels, a third of them, how many are they? Oh my gosh, who knows how
right.
You know, how numerous, how legion they are. But let's talk about those fallen angels as well.
Yeah, it's an unpleasant subject, but they do exist, and they do have the role that they're playing in our lives. I mean, they desire our downfall. And some of the fathers believed that that Satan assigns one just as God gives us a guardian angel. I don't know how that works out numerically, but these angels of light who fell into darkness do want to draw us away. You know, they're jealous of what we have, and they want us to lose it, and they work hard to make us lose it. That's why, you know, we experience the severity of temptation sometimes, because it comes from the demons.
Yeah.
We experience it from within ourselves as well. I mean, I'm not trying to blame the demons for everything. I bear responsibility for all of my sins. You know, there was the comedian Flip Wilson who used to say, "The devil made me do it." No, the devil didn't make you do it. He may have tempted you,
right,
but you decided to do it, right? So, we're faced with these powerful intellects, these powerful wills, whose will is for our destruction, and we have to be very wary. I think that's why the saints have always exercised caution, even in their devotions to the angels. You know, to make sure that they're dealing with the holy angels and not the unholy angels. Saint Augustine had a fear of this as well. That it would be all too easy to fall into a kind of occultism. And Cardinal Lorenzo warned about that too, about 20 years ago, when he put out a handbook on popular piety.
Yeah.
Because he worried for the same reason, that people would get fascinated by the angels, and the wicked angels would take advantage of that.
I remember reading an exorcist somewhere talking. He was in an exorcism, and one of the spirits spoke out, and they asked about how many demons there were, how many spirits. He says, if you could see them, they would blot out the sun. You know, if a third fell from the heavens, we got two-thirds angelic, you know, beings to offer us protection. It's important to rely on them. I've got to take a short pause. When we come back, let's talk more. We'll grab a few more phone calls. A lot of people patiently waiting to join us. We'll take a couple calls on the other side. My guest today, author Mike Aquilina. And if you are fascinated by this subject or you want to read a little bit more, he has written a number of books on them. And you can go to his website. Is that the best place to get them? Your website, just mikeaquilina.com? Or what would you recommend?
CatholicBooksDirect.com. CatholicBooksDirect.com. That's right, where you'll find the best prices.
Sounds great. Angels of God, A Year with the Angels, and a Bible study is done, Entertaining Angels. Our conversation will continue right after this.
Insight and analysis right here. It's the Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio.
And we know too well what that's about. Still we made it through. Only God knows how. We must have had
on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, we are on the eve of the great feast of the guardian angels. That, of course, is Martina McBride. And Patrick, good job on your rejoins here today. Some great little bumpers paying tribute to the angels. I'm joined also by an expert on the angelic, the author of three books. Mike Aquilina joins us. Grab a pen and paper, I'll get you connected to his workings. And we'll take some of your calls. I know I have encountered my angel. My angel saved my life many times. And in some respects, I think it's because of the mission that God has called me to. I remember when I was young, encounters that I had that, you know, in retrospect, I see the fingerprints of God all over. And as I shared with you the story on the highway where it should have been a tragic accident, was divinely. And I had a divine encounter with my angel. I know you may have had them as well. What are our duty towards angels? You know, St. Bernard tells us that we owe them a profound respect. We owe them our confidence. We owe them our gratitude. Because I think so often we pay no attention to them. We forget them. At this time of year, they often come on our radar. But beyond that, we go about our lives, sometimes rejecting God and embracing sin. And I think causing them great great anguish. So, if you want to join us, you've got a question, a concern, you got a story, you want to get in on the conversation, love to have you join us today. We're talking angels. And Mike, let's go right to the phones. We'll grab a couple calls for you, too, and we'll talk more. Barbara's listening in Oak Park, Illinois. Barbara, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew, and thank you for taking my call. Also to Mike and everybody there. I'll make this as short as possible so somebody else can get in. Several years ago, my husband was diagnosed with colon cancer, and he had the surgery, and things had to get rearranged a little bit, but everything looked good. He didn't have any chemotherapy at the time. So shortly after, about a year or two after, his mother passed away of the same illness, and my husband just didn't want to go back to the doctor, didn't want to go through any more tests. And so I just figured, well, his decision, so okay. I felt okay with it. I was at work, and I was busy. I had a very corporate job, and I had a lot of things going on that day. I was typing a letter from my boss, and I had meetings coming up and people coming in. And so as I was typing a letter, all of a sudden, this thought came to my mind. It said, you need to write the doctor and get your husband in there as soon as possible. And I went, whoa, what is this? I kind of dismissed it because I figured, it was just a thought.
Right.
But then it came back stronger, more powerful. And the same type of thought said to me, you need to get your husband in to see that doctor immediately. So I made the arrangements, and my husband went, and I got a call back after he was there, and after an x-ray was taken, they found that he had a tumor the size of a tennis ball in his right lung.
Oh.
And he had to have surgery. It was cancerous, but he is cancer-free today.
Wow. Praise God.
If I had not made that call or called or sent that letter, he would not be here today.
Well, Barbara, thank you for sharing that. Mike, I'll let you respond to that. I mean, those are, I think, divine inspirations.
Yeah, Barbara, I'm grateful for that. You mentioned earlier that we should be in relationship with our angels.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that the angels will do what they can to protect us, to light and guard, to rule and guide.
Yeah.
That's what the old prayer says.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. But they can work much more effectively in our lives if we're working with them. If we cooperate, heaven works on the principle of freedom. God never compels us. God never forces our hand. Neither will our angel. If it's an angel from heaven, he's not going to compel us. He's not going to force our hand. But he will impress these things upon us. If we are attuned to our angel's promptings, it's all the more powerful. We can work all the more effectively with the angels. So that's what devotion does. It just checks us in. It's our way of giving consent. All we have to do is greet the guardian angel, thank the guardian angel. It takes no time, it's no trouble, and it's really establishing a relationship.
Yeah.
It's a habit we should acquire because it works all the more effectively in our lives.
She had that inspiration, perhaps the whispering of her angel to do that. I think of Scripture, and I think of the role of angels, both visible and invisible, in terms of even St. Joseph. Does God send them in our dreams? I mean, in how do they play that a role in terms of speaking to us, both consciously and even sometimes in the unconscious?
Well, I think we always have to exercise discernment. And again, I think we'll be all the better at this if we have an ongoing relationship with our angel, so that it's something ordinary in our lives, that we're discerning. This message that I seem to be getting, is it coming from my angel, or is it coming from somewhere else? Is it just that I'm hungry? Is it just that I'm tired? What's the origin of this? Because not every prompting is supernatural.
That's
some
right.
of these things are our wishes, they're our own will, and we have to be very careful about that. We have to exercise discernment of spirits all the time. So we're called to live a life in relationship with others. You know, when we were created, God said it's not good for us to be alone. So he gave us friends, he gave us neighbors, he gave us family, and he gave us angels to live in relationship with.
And my guest today, Mike Aquilino, will go back to the calls. I'll take a few more. Angels are right around you, as Mike has pointed out. Don't doubt it. I think when you die, you're going to be astonished at just how close they were, how many times they were there for you, how they waited for you, how they were there during your prayer, how they want to help. Yeah, so let's beseech them. Don't miss these opportunities. Vito is listening in Parkland, Florida. Hi, Vito. Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. Yes, I was driving home, and there was a girl right beside me driving the same speed, and there was a flashing yellow light. In the intersection, it was flashing red. And as I was approaching that light, driving around 45 miles an hour, and the girl, same speed, I heard a voice say, stop at the flashing yellow light. And I said, why should I stop at the flashing yellow light? And then I heard it again. And then I looked at the girl that was driving. She was pregnant. She had all the seats in the car with children. None of them was wearing a seatbelt. And all of a sudden, I heard it again, and I slammed the brakes on, and a Cadillac ran the flashing red light, knocked her into the bushes, into a gas station. I jumped out. I asked her, was she all right, the kids? Then I went after the guy who ran out of his car, and he took off on foot, and I stayed there until the police came. And it's happened before, as well as it happened when I was 4 years old. In 1964, didn't know how to swim, snuck away from my mom and dad making sandwiches on a blanket on the beach, walked out into the ocean, walked across a sandbar, fell into and straight down, and I didn't know how to swim, took a deep breath, sank and sank and sank until the sun disappeared from the wave top, sank and sank until I said, I'm just going to go to sleep. And I sank to the bottom and laid down to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, it was pitch black, there was a circle of light, and two hands came out of the circle of light, and I saw the arms. Then it grabbed me by the head and pulled me to the circle of light, and when I got to the circle of light, I was in a room with a it was a hospital room, and there was two legs where I was being pulled out. And I was being born, and I saw everything I did until my dad and my mom said, let's take Vito to the beach. They took me to the beach. I saw myself sneak away from them, and I saw myself walk into that ocean. Then my eyes opened up, and I was looking at a sponge, and a voice said to me, now sit up and push with your feet with all your strength and reach for the sun, and taught me how to reach with my left hand and push down, right hand push down until I got out of the water, and I let all my air out, and the fourth time he taught me to go back up there, I saw land, and I said, look at the ants on the land. Right. And he said, no, those are not ants. Those are people, and that's where your mom and dad is. Now take a deep breath and go back down.
All right. I'm sorry, Vito. That's a fascinating story. Then I'll let you, Patrick, I'll let you, Mike, respond to him.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that happen. I wrote my book, Angels of God, about 15 years ago, and since that time I've traveled all over the world to talk about angels. And every time I give a talk, afterward, there are people waiting for me. Sometimes just one person, sometimes three people, sometimes more. They all want to tell their stories, and they're always stories like this. They're amazing. They're inexplicable apart from the existence of angels. Wow. If we don't believe in angels, then the world stops making sense, and that's something that we hold as Christians. Right. But even non-believing philosophers have come to that conclusion. Right. Mortimer Adler did in the last century. Now, much later in life, he became a Catholic, but he identified himself as a pagan when he came to that belief. Isaiah Berlin, the same thing. He came to the belief that he came to the conclusion that the world didn't make sense apart from the existence of angels.
Wow. All right, Julie in St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Hi. I know that our angels are a gift from God to protect us, but can we ask for them to pray for us, or do they pray for us as well?
Yes, that's one of the hallmarks of the story of Tobias, that when the archangel Raphael identifies himself to Tobias, he says that he's one of the seven spirits who present the prayers of people to God Almighty. And we see the same phenomenon in, I think it's chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, that there are angels there. John sees angels, and they're holding golden bowls of incense. And we're told that in those bowls are the prayers of the saints. So yes, the angels bring our prayers before God. They complete our prayers. They purify our prayers, and they present them to the Almighty. So they're interceding for us as they bring our prayers before God's throne.
Wow. Okay, my guest today, Mike Aquilino. Mike, let's just take a quick pause, because I want to come back and dive into a few more phone calls. I also want to ask you about something very mysterious that's been happening. For the past several decades, there is this story of people who are visited by a mysterious stranger who they pick up hitchhiking, and he talks about the trumpet of Gabriel about to blow. I'll fill you in on the story. From Brazil to the United States, from Europe to Asia, there are reports of this. So when we come back, we'll talk about that and more.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me today. It's great to be with you. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about angels. Tomorrow's the great feast of the guardian angels, and look, there have been all sorts of accounts of angelic encounters. I have really believe I have brushed up and have encountered my own angel very vividly on one experience. Many people who've had near-death experience or, you know, who've been near loved ones who've been passing have claimed their loved ones have reported this. Of course, the great saints have encountered it. But there's also mysterious encounters. I remember during the collapse of the World Trade Towers during 9/11, there were accounts of a mysterious man who would play a trumpet there, or somebody who held the hand of somebody trapped under the rubble, and there was no way for somebody to be able to do that. Was that an angel that comforted that person until rescuers were able to remove enough debris to get to them? Mysterious strangers. There was a story that has gone about, I don't know whether it's urban legend, myth, or whether it's a reality, but there was a story that took place. It began to really get traction in the 60s of hitchhikers who were being reported all the way down to Brazil. And the way the story goes is there was a minister who was motoring down a road to make a sick call, and he spotted a young man on a stretch of uninhabited land. So he picked him up, and they began to talk, and this hitchhiker began to speak of Jesus. And the preacher said that he believed the Lord was coming. You know, the coming of the Lord was drawing near. And the mysterious stranger said, well, it's sooner than you think. And as the minister turned around to look at the young man, he had vanished. He was gone. On the New York State Thruway, they had similar accounts of a beautiful young hippie clad in shining white who supposedly would enter a car, buckle up in the seat belt, you know, in the back seat, talk about religion. And mainly, he seemed to want to know if the driver believed in the Lord. And when the driver turned around, the hitchhiker, too, would be missing the seatbelt fastened. Now, that could be, it sounds like a legend, doesn't it? Sounds like myth. Sounds like somebody's exaggerating the story. But there are hitchhiker stories from Massachusetts to California, all quite often talking about the Lord coming. In the 70s, all the way through the 90s, these stories, these reports, they mushroomed from Eureka, Missouri, you know, all the way to Alaska. There are talks of this. And again, you hear of these mysterious strangers saying that Gabriel was about to come. They talk about the trumpet of Gabriel is about to blow. And it seems relevant because, you know, the trumpet in Revelation is used by angels to announce purification. Were they warning of the times what we were about to encounter? You know, meanwhile, you know, angels sounded trumpets in the Bible, right? It was the seven seals opened. It's a kind of a harbinger of major events, including warfare, sometimes from the sky, sometimes from plagues. So what are we to make of these stories? Simply urban legend or reality? My guest today, Mike Aquilino, a very gifted author and a man who wrote 3 books on angels. I would encourage you to Check them out. Angel of God, A Year with the Angels. He also did a Bible study called Entertaining Angels. Mike, what do you make of that story or those stories that seem to reoccur over the decades?
Well, you know, some of them may be true. Some of them may be urban legends. You mentioned the Twin Towers stories, and that's that's a story that's actually very well documented. And you can look up and watch video interviews with the man who experienced it. His name was Ron DeFrancesco. He was from Canada, and he was working in the Twin Towers. And he was guided out by a counterintuitive path. You know, he was breaking all the rules at the insistence of this voice. He describes it as a voice, kept telling him what to do, where to go, and he followed the voice against all of his better judgment, and he ended up being the last guy to get out of the tower. There's a good collection of these things that's very well documented and scientifically documented. It's called The Third Man Factor: Surviving the Impossible, and it's by John Geiger. Now, I don't know whether John Geiger is a believer or not. He never shows his cards in this, and he avoids the A word. He avoids calling these visitors angels, but he's talking about people in extreme circumstances of danger and how they're sometimes rescued by a person who's suddenly present. They're aware of this presence, and they follow that presence into safety. And he uses examples from deep sea divers, astronauts, mountain climbers, all kinds of people in extreme circumstances who end up getting themselves injured or falling into peril, and they're led out by something that will appear to any believing Catholic as an angel, but he doesn't say that. It's very well documented scientifically. It's called The Third Man Factor by John Geiger.
Wow, I love it. I'll have to check that out. Elizabeth in California, thank you for calling, and thank you for joining us. You're on the air with Mike Aquilina.
Hi, my name's Elizabeth, and I've been experiencing for probably around 7 years angelic and spiritual connections. I don't have just one specific event. I have a daily event where I have angelic presences that actually control me, move me around, know what I'm thinking, tell me what to do. And granted, I talk to them. So I question to myself, are they angels or are they people that are telepathically also, somehow connecting with angelic presences?
Great. Elizabeth, let me let Mike address that, because, I mean, Mike, you do need discernment in situations like that. Could they be demonic spirits? Can individuals have these encounters with their angels on such a frequent basis?
People do have
encounters.
Do you
need psychological help? I mean, there's a lot of things you got to look at in these situations.
That's right. And people do. There are people who have frequent and vivid encounters with their angels. What concerns me about her account is that she said that the presence controls her. That seems contrary to what I've read about angels, that an angel would not force us, would not compel us, would not treat us like a marionette. What I'd suggest in a circumstance like this is find a good Catholic priest who can be your spiritual director and help you to understand anything that seems like a supernatural event, so that you'll have protection and you'll have additional discernment. If you find someone who's willing to be a spiritual director, you know, they have the training, the ability to do it, and they're willing to do it, it can be a great assistance if you're facing something that's very unusual like this, because when you ask your friends for advice, they might not have any idea what you're talking about. How can they advise you? They have had no experience of this. Yeah. But a good spiritual director will know how to counsel you and make your way through it.
That's such great advice, Mike. It really is. Wonderful advice. Hey, Elizabeth, thank you for calling. I appreciate that. We'll move along. Let's go to Jan in Clayton, California. Jan, good afternoon.
Hi. I have a question. When I was really young, I had put some baby bottle nipples on the stove, and my son and I were asleep. We fell asleep in our bedroom, and he was just a baby. And I was sleeping, and I had a dream that, you were talking about angels, but is it possible for Jesus to come in place of a guardian angel? Because I was so heavily asleep, yeah, and something came into my dream, and it was a male figure, but it was a bright light, right, and it was really scary for me, but it was like in a doorway. And
well, Jan, let me do this because we only have a few moments. Let me respond to that, and I'll let Mike follow up on that. Two things. I mean, a lot of Muslims are reporting apparitions of Jesus or Christ coming to them in their dreams, talking about the faith, and it's bringing about mass conversion. We've had experts on to talk about that in the past, so it's very possible Christ can reach out to you. I shared the story earlier about St. Faustina, who they had run out of food. She had taken care of all the homeless. They had nothing left. Gets a ring at the door. The beggar comes barefoot, disheveled, dirty, and she brings him in out of love and mercy, sits him down, and scrounges up what little she had left. And after he ate this beautiful meal, he stood up, and then he disappeared before her eyes. And then she was given to know, the Lord spoke to her ladies as later, said, you know, the prayers of those whose mercy, who have tasted your mercy, have reached my throne, and I have come to taste it myself. And ultimately, you know, it was Christ himself who visited Faustina. And of course, Mike, as you know, Christ has appeared to many saints across the ages. But I guess it comes down to discernment, too. How do you discern what is what? What is Jesus versus what is an angel, etc.?
Well, no matter what, she had an extraordinary rescue there. You know, she was saved by a heavenly presence, and she can be sure of that. If it was Jesus himself, it was Jesus himself. If not, it was an angel who was sent by Jesus, because Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and everything that happens happens through him. So no matter what, our Lord is at the beginning of it, and he works in ordinary circumstances, through normal mediation. This is the way nature operates. This is the normal path of providence, and the angels are part of that. But sometimes he does intervene directly. So there's no way of knowing on the face of it, but no matter what, our Lord was at the beginning of it.
Yeah, I've got a weird question for you. I know we have a few moments. I want to thank everybody who's been patiently waiting. I wish I had 3 hours to discuss angels so I can get everybody on. But, you know, Christ... he took on human flesh, you know, in the incarnation. He became man. Was he given an angel? How does that work? He's the Son of God.
You know, it's funny. The theologians debated about that very much in the Middle Ages, you know, whether or not he was given an angel. Now, we do see a couple of times when angels come to his assistance. They minister to him when he's tempted in the desert. An angel also comes to him when he's suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. So some have said that that is his guardian angel, because as a human being, he would have a guardian angel. Now, St. Teresa of Avila's spiritual director, his name was Gracian, Geronimo Gracian, he had an interesting opinion. He said that our Lord himself did not have a guardian angel, but was given St. Joseph instead, and St. Joseph was endowed with all the gifts of all the spirits in heaven. And so he was equipped to protect our Lord and the Holy Family from the evil force of Herod, and guard them and guide them through all the days that he was with them. So that's an interesting theological proposition. It's not Catholic doctrine, right, but it's at least interesting to think about.
Well, I love it. Hey, Michael, thank you. Thanks for the great work that you do and all of your writing. I mean, 40 books is pretty amazing. You can check out Mike Aquilina online at MikeAquilina.com or FathersOfTheChurch.com. And his books, Angels of God, A Year with the Angels, or The Bible Study, Entertaining Angels. Mike, keep up your good work. I can't wait till we talk again. It's always a joy.
Anytime.
All right. Enjoy your weekend. All right. I am out of time for the day. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. If you enjoy the broadcast, I'm here every afternoon from noon to 3 Pacific, 3 to 6 Eastern, 2 to 5 Central, and everywhere else you may be listening. You can always check out the podcast. Until next time, remember, God loves you, and so do I.